Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to examine a situation that is rarely talked about at work. Mm. We talk about it a lot in our office, but I know most people don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's about what do you do if you no longer like the industry that you're working in.
Mm.
So this phenomena can be very overwhelming, and many people go through with it.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been in the same industry for many years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think this is a really important topic to address. Because you can feel alienated from your job and your coworkers when you change internally and your line of work just suddenly feels like the wrong fit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very uncomfortable. It happened to me. Mm-hmm. So let's go to our question, Logan.
I've been in my industry for 20 years. I'm in my mid-40s, and until recently, I've really enjoyed it. These days, I dread going to work. I can't stand sitting through meetings or dealing with the petty problems of my job anymore. I know that the change is in me. I hate to say it, but an industry I used to love is no longer interesting to me. I need to make a big change. How do I even begin to think about this?
Yeah, there's a lot to think about. And this does happen, and I've seen people stay and be miserable for many years, have heart attacks and ulcers and all kinds of things.
Neck pain.
All kinds of physical ailments from the emotional distress they have, but they feel they've invested in that career.
Yeah.
And, you know, you meet them. You meet somebody that you're doing business with, and you know they hate what they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing it for many years. So, so many people have successfully changed their careers midlife and even late in life. They've gone back to school, or they've started at the bottom in another industry, and they're happy. So you can do it.
You can, but I think it probably feels daunting. And sure, it feels daunting, certainly 20 years in, because you have a career track by then. It can feel daunting 5 years in, right, if you realize that it's not really a good fit for you. And what I was thinking is that sometimes you may not know that it's over for you yet, but you find yourself doing things that are, you know, like maybe you're drinking more or shopping more or sleeping more. Mm-hmm. And so these are signs that there's some part of you wants to check out.
I mean, I think the depression comes with this, or maybe not severe depression, but a sadness, and that you know you're just not happy right now.
Right.
And you don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
And I went through it. I wasn't in my industry for that long. It happened to me after maybe 8 years. I realized I changed. The industry didn't change.
Yeah.
And it looked different to me as I grew up as a person.
Yeah.
And I think it's not uncommon. I was in my 30s, but I've seen it happen to people in their 40s, and I've seen it happen to people in their 50s. I've even seen it happen to people in their 60s.
Wow.
It's very possible. And you could have many careers in your lifetime where the transition is enormous. So we always like to talk about Christine, who we know, who was in the fashion industry. And then when she went through her third round of layoffs, because the industry was merging so much, she, the last one, she sold her apartment, got a tiny apartment, and went back to college.
Yeah.
And got her master's. And she's now a librarian, earning a lot less than she did before and never been happier.
Actually, I'm thinking we have a mutual friend who's been a great supporter of us, who was in the banking industry for years and years and years, and went through, I think, 5 mergers. And then actually the banking industry was in such crisis, she left, but she ended up going, she's now working in education. But it was such a scary leap. Right.
Yeah. She kept interviewing for years, and nothing would come through.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of somebody else we know who was in marketing and successful at it, and now just went back to school and became a therapist.
Yeah.
So there's people, you know, do this, and they do it all the time, but it's not a quick fix.
No, and this it's not uncomfortable quick. When you're in it.
Right, because you don't
early
know.
Stages.
You don't know what's going to come, but it doesn't always require a new education.
No.
I've seen people that do fundraising. I've seen them go, you know, they're in development, go from one type of an industry to another. Mm-hmm. And even if they did completely different work, they were able to start with that that skill, take that into a new industry, and then move into the department they want. But you're really looking at a 3 to 5 year game plan.
So that's the first thing, is to realize you're talking about a 3 to 5 year span of time, that it's going to be a process, and that you, part of the process will be you even discovering what's the new direction for you.
Right. I used to always feel like I was standing behind a black curtain and I couldn't see the hallway. It just wasn't there. And that was very, very frustrating, because what I ultimately, when I left the fashion industry and where I am today, that industry didn't even exist. There's no way I could have predicted where I was going to be. It just sort of happened through a series of trying things out. So you really have to be open and you have to be willing to try what?
Well, I just pointed at Kathy, which no one can see, but
she came up. I saw the light bulb go off.
Well, what I realized, and I think this is true for a number of people that I know who've switched industries, that often the next thing begins as a volunteer thing of
many kinds,
right? Mm-hmm. Something that catches your interest, whether it is something you want to raise money for or something you'd like to assist someone else with developing or something along those lines, where you feel some energy and you're willing to put some time in without knowing exactly where it's going to take you.
Yeah, I've seen people do it through volunteering to begin with, because that's usually a way in. And it's a good way in because you have things to learn.
Right.
You know, you may know one industry really well and your skills are transferable, but not your industry knowledge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it is a good way. Or you go re-educate yourself. And then, you know, whether you get a degree or you get a certificate, you learn that way. And then you have to enter, you know, as an intern or a newbie, but still you probably move up the ranks a little bit faster than somebody younger because you do have other skills.
You know what I'm thinking is, it could be interesting. We have a free chapter of Working With You Is Killing Me, which is the corporate culture chapter. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's so interesting about that is that you can answer questions about your own culture. Mm-hmm. And part of, I think, this journey is determining, how are you changing? Mm-hmm. What matters to you? I mean, we are evolving, hopefully evolving creatures. And so what matters? What's important? Who's important? How you want to put your time, who you want to help or not help, you know, all those things keep changing. So doing something to assess what's true for you today is a very valuable exercise.
Yeah, I think it's a lonely journey also, because it's not, your journey is different than anybody else's. And you really do have to go through a self-assessment to figure out, okay, well, that brings me no joy. What is the next thing that is going to bring me joy? Some people find that they want to make a difference. Some people find that, you know, they don't, they want to be into something that's deeper, not shallow.
Right.
It's not just about making the money. And other people realize they do just want to make the money. It's not about giving.
That's right.
You know, everybody has a different path. And you really have to figure that out and not be afraid of it. I see too many people afraid of it, and they don't do it.
Yeah.
And then that 5 years turns into, well, I thought about it for 5 years. Now I have another 5 years to make it. So it can go very long.
You know, it's also a really good point you made. I mean, we tend to think always in terms of meaning and purpose and making a difference and all that. But that's not true. And first of all, there are many ways to make a difference. But secondly, an individual who I spoke to the other day, she grew up in a family of social service people, and she's really realizing that she really wants to work in media. You know, so she wants to make a difference, but in a very different way. And she wants also to make more money than her family did. So anyway, so she's changing streams, so to speak, not so far into her career, I'd say 8-9 years, but it's a big change. And it means, and sometimes this may be true for you, it means dealing with her family's expectations as well.
Yeah, I think it's not uncommon that your first career will be something you learned at home, or the information that was available to you growing up, whether school, your community, your neighbors. It maybe didn't include everything that you weren't exposed to everything. So once you get in the workplace and it seems so right to get into that industry, you later realize, oh, there's much more available to me than that.
Right.
So it's a very self, a personal journey that is difficult. I found it very difficult to go through.
Yeah.
And I, you know, hold my clients' hands all the time, telling them, you know, you're not alone. A lot of people go through this. And
right.
I read the book Passages by Gail Sheehy, and that helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's personal.
What is that book about?
About passages, that we go through different passages in life, you know, career-wise and also just life-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you pass through certain stages in life, and then you go on to the next. She wrote it many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. I think it's the best book she ever wrote.
Yeah. I was going to say also, I think for many adults, when they start to have children, that influences sometimes your career direction and certainly in the amount of time you want to spend at work and what you want to be conveying to them as your values and as what matters. So that could be another time where change is calling.
Yeah, so I mean, I just want our listening audience to just know that it's not something to fear or run away from because it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
See, once you know, that's the booby trap. Once you have that enlightenment that wow, I don't belong here anymore, it's not going to it's not going to turn back to oh yeah, this is good.
Yes.
It's not. You have to begin taking the steps to figure out what your next thing is going to be,
right.
And I wouldn't do it alone. You know, find some kind of career group or find a coach or somebody that you can talk to through this process that can help you through it. And it may be a lot of trial and error. It's always good to meet others that have gone through it and find out what they went through and get their timeline and see, you know, the mistakes they may have made.
Which brings us to another thing that you can do. This individual certainly could be doing as well, which is even on a casual level to start interviewing people in various professions, especially if it's one that's always been appealing to you, and just find out, you know, what is the fabric of your life? How do you spend an average day? How did you get to where you are today? And what, if anything, if I were interested in this area, should I do to find out more?
Yeah, so it's something you have to take steps every day.
Yeah.
You've got to, you know, work on it every day. Just do something, whether you're reading an article or reading a book about it or making phone calls, reaching out to people. But you've got to start that process for yourself. And, you know, you can't talk to too many people about it because it makes a lot of other people uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Maybe it's a good time to take a commercial break and then we can come back on that.
There we go. Well,
okay, here we go. We'll be back in very quick.
If you like this podcast, you might want Kathy and Catherine to come into your company.
Yes, we can come into your company, give a lecture as a lunch and learn.
Or we can be your next keynote speakers at your conference.
Or we can give a webinar, teleconference, or a live interactive workshop.
Choose from a large number of topics such as dealing with difficult people at work, managing up, the business of setting boundaries, and numerous others. Check out our website for more.
Or just give us a call or send an email. All of our contact information is on our website, ksquaredenterprises.com.
All right, so what I meant by that was, you know, if there are other people that have not gone through this in your life and you tell them this, they're not going to necessarily support you.
Yes.
Especially if they're afraid.
Yes.
To step out and make a big career change. They're going to give you the kind of advice that you're not going to want to hear, which is, oh, you'll get over it. You're going to be fine. Not everybody loves work.
Right.
You know, work is work.
It's called work for a reason.
Yeah.
Suffering is good.
Yeah. So you were shaking your head like you know that's true. Right?
I was, well, actually, what I was thinking about, which is interesting, because I've made a couple of shifts, though they haven't been hugely divergent. But I remember when I decided I wanted to do the Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said to me, okay, get ready, because when you tell people you're going to do this, you're going to hear their fears about what you want to do.
Right.
Oh. And you were mentioning before, Kathy, that making these kinds of changes is taking a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you also said the people who are going to dissuade you are usually the people who have a lot of fear themselves, are security oriented, right? So I remember saying to one person, oh, I'm going to go do the Peace Corps. And I remember one individual saying, So you just want to get killed.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Or
that
and then
escalated quickly.
What did you say?
I said that's not really what I'm interested in. But I was like, I don't think that's what why they send thousands and thousands of people over consistently over 30 years of time. I don't think that's why. I don't think that's what's been happening. But anyway, that was one reaction. Then the other was, oh, you're going to waste 2 years of your life.
Oh, wow.
And those, again, that had to do with that individual's perspective, right? So, but it was so helpful that's to be forewarned. Then there were those who said, I always wanted to do that. And they could encourage, right? But I think it's a similar thing. So that's, you know, the Peace Corps is considered to be, I guess, an adventure in and of itself. But really changing industries is an adventure as well. So,
right.
And where people sit is how they are going to react to you. Wherever they sit in their lives, if they've sacrificed their lives, if they haven't had fun at work, you can be darn sure they don't think you should be either.
Right. Misery loves company.
Yeah. There's a right time and a wrong time to do it. I think if you have a huge responsibility, maybe you're the only breadwinner and you have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
That's probably, you know, not the right time to do it. So maybe you do it really slowly until the right time, is there. You don't want to be crazy about this.
Right.
Well, and that's why I say the minute you realize, wow, this, I've got to make a big change here, but I don't know how to do it, you just start taking baby steps.
Right.
And you tell yourself, we're going to do this. I don't know how long it's going to take, but one day we'll not be here.
And what you said, though, about you need to be willing to take steps every day, it's going to be scary. And maybe that's a big argument for having a coach, a counselor, some support, a group where you can be encouraged and also held accountable to take actions on your behalf.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very easy, I personally can find it very easy to resist taking actions that are nerve-wracking to me. I mean, the thought of leaving an industry after 20 years is probably not the most relaxing thought.
Right. And it's going to take a lot of guts. And there'll probably be days where you think, oh, this is not, it's not going to work.
Right.
I can't possibly do that. And I remember having those thoughts, and I've seen a lot of people through it. But I once had this client come to me, and she was under the impression that she could change. She was a lawyer in some entertainment field, and she wanted to do something completely different.
Yeah.
But she had this sort of, idea that it should be very easy.
Well, it should happen quick.
And she wanted me to tell her, well, if you just go here, they're going to hire you. And, I said, well, you'd probably have to be a lawyer in that industry for a while. And then you break into, no, I want it to be, this. And it was interestingly, she thought, she wrote me a nasty email after because she didn't think I knew what I was doing.
Shame on her.
Because I couldn't give her a quick fix. There really is, you have to look at it as a process.
Yes. Yeah.
I think a lot of career change is about a process.
Absolutely. And I also was thinking industries can change too.
Yes, right? That's
what you signed up for originally is not the industry that face today. And realizing that and saying, I don't care for this industry as it is also a tough one. Because again, lots of time in. Often economically, it will tell you that there's no real opportunity here. So that could be a motivator. But it's the same thing where you still need to start taking actions to see what your next opportunities can be.
Yeah, and it's the days of, you get your first job at 22 and then you stay in that industry for the rest of your life. That's kind of over.
Totally over.
So you have skills, you've developed skills, and they are transferable. It's the industry that isn't always transferable. You may be in the medical field and then you want to go into what? Manufacturing. There's a long learning curve to the difference.
Yeah.
And so your skills may be, whether it's, billing or, whatever it was you knew how to do is transferable, but not necessarily the way it's done in that industry. And that takes a while to learn.
So you need mentors or teachers of sorts.
You also have to be willing to go back a bit. I remember that client wasn't willing. Right. She wanted the same salary.
Also, whatever, whatever amount of time it took for you to even get in that industry and learn those skills, you have to realize that you're starting from scratch again
right.
in whatever new industry
right.
you're
pursuing. Right, you have to be willing to be a beginner of sorts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're,
that's a hard one for people.
It is very humbling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's part of it. It's part of the process. And it goes, I find people in career transition, it goes quicker than it did the first time around when you had youth on your side and you just didn't know anything. It wasn't just the industry. You didn't know how to work.
Right.
But now when you enter a new industry, you learn the industry much quicker and you will move up the ladder quicker. That's what I've seen. I've seen people get they achieve it a lot quicker than they were worried about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I remember, so Christine, who went back to college and became a librarian, she was tapped almost immediately as going on a fast track into management, and she turned it down.
Ah.
She said, no, I've learned how to live humbly, and this is what I want to do. And she's tapped all the time.
She wanted to do the actual work
of librarian. She just wants to be a librarian. She absolutely does not want to move up the ladder into the public library system to be a manager. But she was tapped immediately because of her resume and, of course, how she carries herself. She's a grown woman, and she came with a lot of skill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there is that benefit.
So, yes, this person with 20 years experience, you will probably be tapped, too.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Quickly.
You're gonna be wanted. They're gonna make you pay for the year or two that you don't know the industry, but then they're gonna want you to move up quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really, it's the figuring out the piece of what it is you want to do and getting that education piece, whichever is missing.
Being willing to do that.
Right. That's the long part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But once you find a job, you're usually okay. But it's hard to get a job when you make a transition, by the way. You're not the conventional candidate. So that takes a lot of
networking. Well, actually, it's funny you say that because I was thinking that one of the key activities to be doing while you're making the shift is building a new network, right? Building relationships, because chances are what's going to happen is someone who meets you will take a bet on you, right? They'll be willing to take the risk because they like who you are and they have an experience of your behavior, right? Your character. And so they'll give you your first break, but you need those connections to get that break.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lots to think about.
No pressure.
So summing it up, your feeling unhappy is good in that it's a motivator and an indicator. We encourage you to start taking actions at least one a day if you can and start building your network, start exploring what else you may want to do and appreciate, as Kathy so clearly said, that this is a 3 to 5 year change. You're going to have to be willing to get more education in one form or another, whatever industry you move to, and you're going to have to be a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it, Kathy?
That's it.
All right, so join us next time for another My Crazy Office. Tweet us your stories and advice about what to do when you no longer like your industry. Vote for us on Podcast Land. Review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.